Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
John El Capitan Martellaro. Pleased to be here.
Word on the street is you're kind of happy with the El Capitan announcement for us.
Yes.
And also with me, Brian Chaffin. How are you doing, Brian? I believe that's Bay Area talk for you were hanging out at WWDC parties last night.
Yep. A little bit tired today. Voice is a little bit gone.
Yep, but you're definitely not hungover.
I am not.
And I don't say that in an ironic way. You are definitely not hungover.
I am definitely not hungover.
So, which is probably for the best, because I can only imagine.
Fun fact, I've never been hungover in my life.
See? That's why I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, Casper Mattresses, which I think is absolutely awesome. And unfortunately, Brian, you didn't get to sleep on yours nearly as long as you could have last night, or should
That's correct.
Yeah. We'll be talking about them more shortly, but first, we have more to talk about from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. There was a big part of the presentation, keynote presentation they did on Monday that we didn't even really get to touch on yesterday. So I figured we should hit that today. And that's the news that that Apple is launching their new streaming music service called Apple Music, based on Beats Music.
Well, Apple Music is a lot more than that, right? It's music playback.
Yes.
From what you have. And it's Beats One, the new 24/7 global radio station,
right?
That is being headed up by Zane Lowe, and and there's also Connect, which allows artists to connect with fans and upload content directly to Apple Music. And there's the bit about independent musicians being able to go direct to Apple Music. And there are videos too, so it's much more than just a music streaming service.
Yeah, very much so. And when Apple talks about their internet radio service, they don't mean it in the sense that most internet radio services work, in that it's just playlists being run. This is actually internet radio, where it's done like radio, where you have DJs. And DJs are putting together the sets. And yeah, so that's going to be a very different thing compared to what we're getting from some of the other services.
You know, my perspective is that, and I'm not an expert on music by any means, but I do like to buy and enjoy music and play it in the background. And when I'm writing, I like to have piano solos and some quiet new age music running. And I kind of got the feeling that there was so much going on yesterday with Apple and music that no sane person can totally embrace everything that's going on. It just seems like it's overwhelming in its scope. And I kind of wonder whether anybody can really totally embrace all that's going on, or whether they have to sort of pick and choose pieces of it. I mean, how do you guys feel about the breadth and the scope of all that's entailed? I mean, you could spend your whole life listening to and buying music and not get anything else done.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to sit and write and ponder and listen and read and do things and have music in the background that you like. It's another thing to be constantly interacting, you know, with musicians and listening all the time and being so involved with the music. I mean,
that was my feeling.
I'm just an amateur, though.
You're saying that there's just too much going on, and
it seemed
Apple needs to settle down a little bit.
Well, it seemed like it was such an overwhelming prospect that it caused me to wonder what percent of the population would be able to totally embrace it in a way that Apple would prefer.
Well, I mean, John, people.
That's just my me, just me my, thinks, my way.
Me thinks thou doth project too much.
Probably. I do that a lot.
I mean, when it comes to fans and bands and artists, there's a lot of content out there, and fans seek out the stuff that they want. So Apple Music isn't being presented as some sort of complete catch-all, and if you want to do it, you must do it all.
Right, of course.
It's you know, it's Apple's putting the pieces out there for the people that actually want it.
Right, and then you pick up the pieces you want, and you're in Apple's ecosystem.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, for me, if I'm using Apple Music, I expect that I probably won't be using the social networking interaction part for artists, simply because that's just not my thing. But if they have some interesting content on the radio side, I could see listening to that.
And personally, there's all kinds of bands that I would love to see behind the scenes stuff. Any kind of like you know, B-side stuff that they were putting up. I'd probably be a little bit less interested in you know, like messages to the fan. But
sure.
Again, I'm probably not the target demographic for that. I mean, so there's a little bit of something for everyone in all this, and. And because of that, I think that Apple may really have something on its hands with this. One of the quotes that really struck me when he said it was when Jimmy Iovine, who is a complete goober up on stage,
bless his little heart.
That man has accomplished more than I ever will. But anyway, one of his. Quotes was that algorithms alone can't do that emotional task, and that emotional task is to be able to put songs together that actually work for a given situation. And yeah. And so I mean, you know, and that's one of the things that Beats Music was doing all along, which was to provide these human curated playlists. So that's not like that's new. But it is one of the things that Apple was emphasizing for Apple Music, and I think it's going to be one of the things that definitely works for a lot of people.
I agree. When I listen to streaming music from other services, and even iTunes Radio, because there really isn't that human touch. A lot of times, the songs that are playing back to back, I'm at a loss trying to figure out how they possibly go together.
Yeah, I mean, there's a talent to being able to put together a playlist that actually works.
Right, and so far computers can't do that.
So far, yeah. And that probably, well, it'll be a long time before they can.
Yeah, but there was a brief allusion to a new version of iTunes. Did you guys hear that?
Well, they talked about an update to iTunes.
Yeah.
So in that sense, sure, a new version of iTunes, because the whole Apple Music thing is going to tie in with iTunes.
Lump it all into iTunes 12. Yeah, just one big happy iTunes.
There could be an Apple Music app for the Mac too. That's possible.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It's possible. Maybe I'm thinking not iTunes. because they made a point of saying when Beats or Apple Music launches later this month, that it's going to launch along with a new version of iTunes.
Ah.
The Beats one, there wasn't a lot that was new, or that was news, I should say, in the Beats one launch. But I'm really interested in Beats one. I mean, the notion, I mean, Apple, without actually talking about this, Apple touched on this idea that, you know, a 24/7 global radio station with DJs, you know, shows that are actually put together by DJs in, what is it, London, New York, and Los Angeles? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And the world all being able to listen to the same radio station at the same time when it's powered by humans is, I mean, that could be an interesting thing. You know, to be able to be listening to the same song as someone in in Macau or Ho Chi Minh City or actually, is Ho Chi Minh City still? Anyway, some fern place. I mean, it's an interesting thing. And of course, the flip side of that is that, you know, we have maybe the opportunity, the negative opportunity for Apple to homogenize music in a bad way, but by becoming extraordinarily powerful. And I don't think it's going to happen, but it's certainly a possibility.
Well, Brian, maybe I'm wrong, but I sort of got the feeling that Apple's all about the business of revitalizing the financial infrastructure and setting up a new system or an additional system for money-making opportunities. Does that sound about right?
For sure. For sure. We've understood, according to information that is leaked, that that is one of the things that Apple has been concerned about with music, and that they were, as a matter of fact, going slow with launching the service because they didn't want anything to be too disruptive to the existing music industry. And, you know, Apple feels that caretaker role. They do in publishing. You know, we didn't talk. Did we talk about the news app yesterday?
We didn't.
No, but we will. We will.
That's clearly Apple continuing to feel that publishing needs to be saved, that music needs to be saved. You know, Apple definitely has that knight in shining armor complex when it comes to some of these things.
Yeah, they definitely do. Now, okay, so I've heard a lot of people say that they think Apple Music is doomed because they felt the presentation at WWDC was weak.
What?
And yeah, I know. Just because Jimmy Iovine isn't a good onstage speaker, or at least wasn't yesterday, that doesn't mean to me that Apple Music is doomed.
It was better than the title presentation.
Right. Yes.
Most things on planet Earth are better than the title presentation. It's kind of a low bar I just set.
Okay, but the scene in the elevator with all of the stand-in Tim Cooks, I did find that kind of funny.
Yeah, Jimmy wasn't a great speaker, but I thought that the content being presented was just fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, I agree too. I think that Apple Music has a pretty good chance of success.
Well, it's a sign of confidence that Apple can sit back and let its hair down a little bit and have some real people come up on stage instead of being too artificially polished.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, which I believe I did mention, and that's Casper, the mattress company. Brian, I'm sorry you didn't get to sleep on your mattress very long last night.
Me too.
Yeah, especially because Casper mattresses are really nice. I love mine, and I know when you get to sleep on yours, you do love yours too, Brian.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So what Casper has done is they've designed a mattress that, instead of using the traditional box spring setup and all that, they've gone to the foam-style mattresses. Instead of being a mattress that basically just sucks you in, it has the right amount of flex and the right amount of support so that it feels comfortable to lay on the bed and you don't feel restricted and you don't overheat. And these are all important things for me because I like to be comfortable when I do sleep. The attention to detail is just astounding. The production quality of these mattresses is just really, really good.
Yeah, it's very, very high.
Yes. And as I sit here singing their praises, I know that there are some people that just wouldn't feel comfortable buying a mattress sight unseen. And that's okay, because Casper gets that too. They will let you return your mattress if you don't like it, which is good because you buy your mattress online. And if it doesn't work for you, well, it doesn't work for you. I would be surprised, though, if a Casper mattress doesn't work for you. But in the event that it doesn't, you have 100 days to try it out, and then you can return it. And they'll pay the shipping back, and you're not out any money from your bank account, and you can just go on your way and find a different mattress. But like I said, I don't think that'll happen. I think if you try one of these out, you're going to want to keep it. They also sell their mattresses at lower prices than competing products, and that's because they can keep the cost low. They don't have to pay for showrooms and the extra staff to tell you how great their mattresses are. All they have to do is make good mattresses and then ship them to you. So their queen size mattress, which is what I have, costs $850. That's going to cost you over $1,000 if you go into a mattress store. And yet you can get it for even less because Casper loves us. They've given us a discount code to pass on to you. So if you go to their website, casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO, you get $50 off any of their mattresses. And you're also going to have free shipping. So in my case, $850 mattress, $800, and that's the cost to have it delivered to my house.
That's fantastic, man.
Absolutely fantastic. And I've had sleeping issues for a very long time. So I spent quite a while actually tracking my sleep patterns once I got my Casper mattress. And I saw a noticeable improvement in my sleep quality. And that's saying a lot.
Likewise.
So I'm very pleased with my Casper mattress. I'd love for you guys to try one out too. So head to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself $50 off a really great mattress. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to take a look at is the announcement that Swift 2 is going to be open source. And for people that don't know what Swift is, Swift was introduced last year at WWDC. This is the app development platform that Apple has made for creating your OS X and iOS apps. And
technically, it's a programming language.
Yes, it's a programming language. Yes. Yeah. And so this is what Apple sees as the future for programming for the Mac and iOS. And they see it as the future for a lot of other people too, because with Swift 2 coming out, it's going to be open source.
You know, my wife teaches at a community college, and she has some difficulties with integrating some of the modern Linux tools and development tools like Eclipse. Some minor gotchas here and there with Xcode and the rest of the world. You know, the rest of the world goes off and does their thing in science and development. And then there's Xcode for developing specifically for iOS. And I think this is a great thing that Apple's doing, opening up Swift, because, you know, Objective-C never really took, you wouldn't ever really find somebody in business or science developing technical code in Objective-C. It was, you know, it's mostly restricted to iOS development. But this is going to open things up. Once you can start doing open source, you can use open source tools, the language becomes widely known and widely used, you can develop on Linux. This is going to really accelerate the language and give it great breadth and respectability and usability. I think it's a great thing that Apple did. And so Swift will become now a major language, you know, like Java, as opposed to sort of a little thing that you do when you're doing iOS development and Objective-C. This is important.
Swift had already, because of its popularity with iOS developers, it was already a major language strictly in terms of usage. But it does have this opportunity now of becoming just I'm not even quite sure what I'm trying to say. Just having a huge presence that goes well beyond Apple's ecosystem.
Yeah, there's another reason to do this too, and that is because Swift is a language that has some of its roots in the programming language Haskell, and it's designed to be an unambiguous language. I was doing an interview a couple days ago, and I'll have an article up soon about how you write secure code. And there's lots to it, but one of the ways you write secure code is by selecting a language that is devoid of ambiguities. That's where you get into trouble. You tell the compiler what you think you want to tell the compiler, and it turns out the language has ambiguity in it and weaknesses where the compiler and you aren't on the same page. And so when the language forces you to declare everything and forces you to be very explicit, the compiler can generate code that you have confidence in. And that leads to it operating in the way that it was intended, which leads to more secure code. So to the extent that more and more people are going to adopt Swift programming language, our code's going to be more secure.
You know, and Apple announced plans for it to be on Linux and, of course, continue to be on iOS and OS X. I'm wondering how long it will take Swift to come to be brought to, taken to Android and maybe even Windows.
Well, if it can go to Linux, then it's a logical path to Android.
To Android, for sure.
Yeah.
And if it's open source, it depends on exactly how open source Apple actually makes everything. But if it's truly open source, I would imagine it will find its way to Android.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. And, well, Apple has done open source stuff in the past where it wasn't quite as open as it seemed at first. So I'm curious to see just how open the Swift open source project is going to be. But my guess is that this is going to be far more open than things Apple has done in the past because they do want to have very wide adoption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. The open source pieces are supposed to be all available by the end of this year, I believe. So that means we'll probably be seeing chunks of this drop into the open source community over the coming months.
Yeah, I think my wife is going to be teaching a class on Linux on Swift when it's available too. So it's another avenue. You don't have to require your students to have Macintoshes to learn a new, modern, great language.
That's very cool. Very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this. And we are out of time. So yet again, we're going to have to wrap up. Brian and John, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Hey, fun.
Yeah, it's always great to have both of you on the show. Thank you to Casper for being our sponsor this week. Head to their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off a brand new, totally awesome mattress. And listeners, thank you for the feedback that you're giving. It's always great to hear from you guys. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.